This is Nightlife
with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.
Well, the referendum machinery is being tweaked, gears being adjusted and oiled up and all of that. And the federal government has struck a deal with the Coalition on Legislation, setting out how this year's referendum on an Indigenous voice to Parliament will be managed. Labor's made a concession in allowing an official pamphlet to be distributed across the country, outlining the respective yes and no cases. But it remains firm on not agreeing to the Coalition's desire to see Commonwealth funding for campaigns on both sides of the debate. Joining us once again for the Nightlife News Breakdown, Mark Kenny. He's the Canberra Times political analyst and professor at the ANU's Australian Studies Institute, and also hosts the Democracy Sausage podcast. Mark, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. Such a mouthful, isn't it? I apologise for that. I'll have to trim down my titles.
No, that's all right. This issue of the concession on pamphlets, is this much of a concession, actually?
Well, it depends which way you consider it. I mean, in the end, the concession's been made by the opposition, which has agreed to the government's, the opposition's main object was to get the, equal funding, get public funding for the yes and no cases. And I think that was because it was well aware that the yes case is probably likely to get a lot more kind of corporate support and public support than the no case. That's probably the calculation both sides have made. And so the opposition was sort of pushing hard on that. But in the end, they've had the win, as you say. There was a concession from the government in terms of this pamphlet, which we sent to every household where registered voters are, and it will outline the yes and no cases, the sort of basic arguments put in a factual way. I think that's going to be quite a test of writing, actually.
Yeah, it is. Who gets to write these? Who gets to write the no case, for example?
Well, it's a good question. I think what I was hearing before was that this was going to be done by the Electoral Commission. The Electoral Commission would essentially probably receive submissions from both sides and agree on a sufficiently kind of bland and rhetoric-free. I mean, what they have to do in terms of being factual, they have to factually represent the argument being put forward by the yes and no case. So
Quite difficult in a way, though, isn't it? Because people who are in favour and people who are opposed actually are often opposed for quite individual reasons.
That's true. There are more than there's more than one argument or reason for being on either side of that divide. So yes, that will be something of a challenge. But I suppose, in a sense, the argument or the task will be about taking those arguments that are put forward and reducing them in such a way they contain no unnecessary fat. They're relatively simple for people to understand and engage with, which is at the end of the day what the objective is there for the Electoral Commission, to make sure people understand, in essence, the key arguments for and against. And, it's going to be a challenge, and presumably there'll be a degree of argument and, perhaps some complaints about it. But the idea is to try and have at least every voter give access to both sides of the case. And that's what the opposition has succeeded in getting the government to do, which, of course, we know initially going into this, the government was of the view that there'd be no funding for the yes and no case and no pamphlet either. So, I guess it's a win for one and a win for the other in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. It effectually, it doesn't end the debate over the proposal, but because this is only the machinery bill, but it does sideline the Greens and the crossbench, doesn't it? So, the legislation goes through Parliament on the machinery. So we're going to have the referendum. There'll be a pamphlet outlining the yes and no case. Although the Coalition is still divided on the referendum itself, isn't it? The Federal Liberal Party yet to decide still whether it will support the yes campaign. Where do you think they're likely to go on this?
Well, you're right. They are divided. They're considerably divided, and I think there are some people who will never support the yes case, and who will never even really support the idea of having this referendum. And there's been a few who've arced up about that in recent days, and who are upset even at the Coalition being in support of this machinery bill. So there'll be a few people. I saw a cast of about five senators, all of them white blokes. A couple of Nats and three Libs, I think it was, who are planning to cross the floor. And of course, we know Jacinta Nambinja-Price is also opposed, and she gathered together a number of Indigenous people in Parliament House today to make the point, sort of numerically, I suppose, visually, that it's not just her. There are a number of other First Nations people who don't want this voice, who don't want this referendum. But you know, that division on the coalition side, I think, is going to your question. I think is going to lead eventually to a fairly mixed picture. Even if Dutton himself, I mean, there is a theory that Dutton himself might actually end up supporting it, but of course he won't be binding his team. And so, you know, what will be the effect of that? As we know, we've talked about it before, referendums that don't have bipartisan support usually don't have much chance, but there might be some other circumstances at play here.
Might be different in this day and age of social media and other different means of communicating. And the other thing is, I suppose, too, this must be weighing on Mr. Dutton's mind, he probably doesn't want this time round the Federal Liberal Party to be on the wrong side of this debate, does he? In the sense that if it does get up by a reasonable majority, does he want to be on the other side of that?
Well, you wouldn't have thought so. I mean, I would have thought that about climate change as well, you know, and doing something about the emissions of larger companies using the very mechanism that the previous government designed and had in operation. And after the message that came from voters, the very clear message that came from voters, particularly in the Teal seats around the sort of environmental question, you would have thought that, again, he wouldn't have wanted to be on the wrong side of it. But and I've written a bit about this a few times and through a few election cycles, and one of the things I keep finding myself writing is that opposition leaders are a unique sort of breed of people. They exist in a very dangerous, insecure position, and their chief task, particularly early on in their terms, their chief task is holding their side together. And I think that's what Dutton mostly has in mind, and it's perhaps why he didn't support the safeguard mechanism changes, and why he is equivocating here, because he knows there are members of the coalition party room and of the Liberal backbench in particular who are trenchantly opposed to this and will never support it. And he has to decide what's the right way to go in terms of what he thinks, but also, you know, politically or tactically, I guess.
The Labor Senator, Don Farrell, he's the Special Minister of State. He also outlined that there'd be a national neutral civics education campaign, which would be run instead of a funding a yes and no campaign. I mean, the argument about not funding the yes and no campaign really is that the government hasn't done that in previous referenda, particularly, except for the Republic one.
Yeah.
And anyway, but he says there'll be a neutral civics education campaign. What's all that about?
Well, I think the idea is to just educate people as to what a referendum is, how it works, what the constitutional bar is. You know, essentially to have them understand the process in which they're being required to engage, because of course, one of the things, and you hear this question asked a bit, and we might as well answer this now as well, is that, you know, people ask, is it the same as an election? Do I have to vote, for example? Well, the answer to that is yes. Everyone who's on the electoral roll
has to vote,
will be required to roll up and vote on that day. We know it's going to be sort of sometime after September. And the way it's decided is the so-called double majority. You have to have a majority for a yes case to prevail. That is, for a change to occur to the Constitution, it has to have a majority of votes across the nation, but there has to also be a majority in a majority of the states. So 4 of the 6 states, irrespective of what happens in the quaint little jurisdiction in which I sit at the moment, the ACT, or for that matter, the Northern Territory, they just don't count. They count towards the aggregate national majority, but they don't count in terms of that state thing. So It's a tough bar, and I suppose the neutral, as you say, the neutral civics campaign is just about explaining the machinery, the purpose of it, and what it is that people are being engaged in, so they can perhaps do the right thing, you know, be conscientious voters.
All right. As to the content of the question itself, which is still not agreed, and presumably the wording, therefore, of the pamphlets, the Voice Referendum Working Group is meeting with the Prime Minister today and tonight. This is Professor
As we speak, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. This is Professor Megan Davis, who's a member of the group.
We are putting the finishing touches on this historic change. Australia has been considering the idea of constitutional recognition for a long time. 6 years ago at Uluru, we asked for that recognition to come through, a voice to Parliament, a voice that will give advice on policies that affect our people.
Getting down to the nitty-gritty, getting close to finishing and all of that, but once the question's written, does it get tweaked before it's put?
Well, once the question is written, it becomes part of the bill. So the government, as well as this machinery bill that we've just been talking about, the actual referendum does not get triggered in terms of the constitutional process towards setting up and having a referendum. It does not get triggered until a bill has been passed by Parliament. And that bill will include the amendment to the Constitution and the question that is going to be put on the ballot paper for people to ask. So it is actually pretty critical, this. And the government wants to do that next week as well. So if, as Megan Davis says, the working group is very close, perhaps it's there now, I don't know. Certainly today she was saying it was very, very close to finalising that wording. As you say, they were meeting with the PM tonight. If the government then says, yes, it's happy with that wording, and the government has, Albanese has made a big thing about sort of not owning this personally and having this driven by the working group and by Indigenous communities, as per the whole Uluru Statement from the Heart process to begin with, then I guess there's going to be some sort of job of work for parliamentary drafters to come up with the formal legal wording, which will be put forward in a bill. And it will be introduced. I don't think that has to be passed necessarily next week, but I think the government has the plan of wanting to do it because, of course, next week is the last sitting week before the May budget. That's how quickly this year is going.
Yes, it is. It is. We're talking with a Nightlife News Breakdown tonight with Professor Mark Kenny from the Australian Studies Institute. Look, on another topic too, which is not easy for the Coalition either, this is this safeguard mechanism bill. You might think, why don't they just pass it and move on? Because, to all intents and purposes, it's not going to solve the world's problems anyway. The mechanism is designed to impose binding caps on Australia's 215 biggest polluters. But there's still a standoff between the government, the Greens and the Senate, who want a ban on all new coal and gas projects before they will agree to it. There's also a division in the coalition ranks on this too, isn't there? The business sector is not falling into line with Peter Dutton and his opposition to it, is he?
No, he's not. And I saw Anthony Albanese having a bit of fun with this in the House of Representatives today, using some words from a story that Phil Currie wrote for the Australian Financial Review. He had his side at least laughing about the fact that Dutton had said, had implied, I think at a recent business summit, had implied that, business leaders were telling the government one thing, but privately they were saying something else about this, these tougher caps to drive this this emissions reduction process. And a whole lot of business leaders came out or sort of peak organisations came out and said there's no disunity here at all. Business wants this done. It wants to have this process in place. It wants to have less argy-bargy about it. And so there was a fairly high degree of unity, and Albanese kind of thundered across the chamber. So there he was, telling the business community what they think to the business community. And, his side was laughing. The truth of the matter is here this argument at the moment is between Labor and the Greens, because the coalition has decided that it's opposed to this beefed up safeguard mechanism.
Even though it was an idea from their own side.
An idea, a system from their own side. I mean, it was Greg Hunt, I think, designed it a long time ago, and it was a mechanism that's been in place now for some years. And all the government's trying to do is increase the sort of strength of it to drive. This is how the government gets to its 43% cut by 2030. And it's getting pretty willing at the moment. There's been a lot of there's been very intense negotiations going on between Labor and the Greens once the coalition decided it was just not going to be playing in that game at all. The negotiations have been very intense between Chris Bowen and Adam Bandt for the respective sides in trying to get to some sort of resolution of this. We know the Greens want a total ban on any new coal or gas projects. The government says it's not going to do that. Up until, really sort of the last 24 hours, I think whilst we know those negotiations have been pretty full on, there's been a degree of public sort of respect, but you can see things fraying a bit at the moment.
You can.
The government needs to get this through again. More legislation that needs to be got through in this sitting period.
Yeah.
And Bowen's saying he's sort of really starting to say the Greens could cause a blowout of the Australia's carbon footprint. They could be responsible 2009 style as they were with the CPRS if they don't get this through. Mm. And Bob Brown has handed back his life membership of the Australian Conservation Foundation because the ACF has sort of said publicly that it wants to see this mechanism passed, saying it's not the end of the climate policy process, it's the beginning of it, and that the Parliament should pass it. And Brown's pretty disgusted with that, so he's so there's a fair bit going on here in this space, and
yep.
It's not absolutely certain that they're going to get an agreement.
Federal Liberal MP Bridget Archer's been getting stuck into her own side too over her party's approach to the policy, saying,
"I'm utterly exasperated by the lack of engagement from my own side to come to the table and engage in a constructive conversation about how the safeguard mechanism could be improved, an approach that is going nowhere."
Again, in the end, when all this settles, which side of this do you want to be on?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point. And Bridget Archer she just keeps climbing in my estimation and the estimation of a number of people. I guess the real test will be whether she climbs in the estimation of her local branch members and indeed the electors of Bass, because her seat's pretty marginal there in Tasmania. But
although she hung on to it last time.
She did hang on to it last time, even though there was a change of government. And she's a person of principle, but also of courage. And I think that needs to be called out, that needs to be stated, because there are so many people in Parliament, so few of them carve out a name for themselves for having genuine, commitment and courage and resolve, even when it may put their position within their party, it may put their promotional chances and other things at risk, and indeed even potentially pre-selection. So Bridget Archer, once again, because the point she makes is an absolutely valid one. It was the government, the previous government's policy. This government wants to beef it up in order to deliver its increased emission reduction targets. The opposition could have been in this process, but from the beginning, essentially just dealt itself out by saying it was opposed to any change here. How is that constructive? And it goes to your point earlier about, what side of history do you want to be on here?
Mm. Yep. Anyway, we shall know in a few weeks. Mark, great to talk, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Good to talk to you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.